Bless God. Father, I want to thank you for our time now in your word. I want to thank you for your faithfulness to your word. Thank you for your faithfulness to your church and to the people of God. Father, I thank you that you are doing incredible things. And as you brought us into this year, God, you helped us to know that you are unleashing your power. We thank you for that. We thank you that you are unleashing potential, that you are unleashing provision and unleashed harvest. And so now we pray that even as we spend this time together in your word, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would stir our hearts, that you would further affirm, confirm, clarify what it is that you purpose to do in us and through us. We give you the glory now in Jesus' name. Would you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to lay just a brief foundation for our teaching now that we're moving into the year of unleashed provision. Say, this is the year. Say a little louder for me. This is the year of unleashed provision. Now we've talked about power. We've talked about potential. Now we're going to talk about provision. Provision. There's a number of definitions that have to do with provision. Let me just read a few that I came across that are applicable to what I believe God wants to speak to us in this time. Provision, the act or process of providing. The act or process of providing. Secondly, the fact or state of being prepared beforehand. Being prepared beforehand. Thirdly, a measure taken beforehand to deal with a need or contingency. A measure taken beforehand to deal with a need or contingency. Lastly, a stock of needed materials or supplies. Everybody say provision. I was talking with Pastor Josh one of our many times that we get together, and he was actually sharing a word that I think Sue had shared with you, and when he shared the word, I said, well, that resonates with this word that God's given us in this season of provision. So I had him text it to me, and I want to read the part that the prophetic word part of it, and it said this: tidal wave of provision. Coming is coming from every direction into your life. You are going to be left in wide-eyed wonder at the provision of God. This isn't just little bits here and there. This is life-changing provision. The type of provision I am now releasing, nothing and no one will remain the same. It changes everything. It's bigger than you think. It's bigger than you think. That's a great word. That's a great word. Come on, if you receive the word, say, Lord, I received this word. Now, I don't know, Sue, was that a word God gave you or somebody that you?
Actually, they sent it to me. It's from a lot of us. Actually,
she's from Australia. All right, well, we just received that word all the way. Come on, y'all. Y'all know how we do. We learned this a long time ago. We say, me too, Lord, do like this. That means any word you hear, like if somebody's getting a prophetic word and you're sitting out there and you're hearing that word, and you say, okay, I know you're talking to them, but that's my word too. Just do like this. Yeah, you ain't got just real quick, you know. That means me too, Lord. Me too. Me too. Now, I wanna hit a couple of things that I believe I need to say that may seem a little off from the area of a provision. However, they're really not, but I need to share them because they're specific to some key folk that are here today. I don't know specifically who I'm talking to, but I know I need to share these two thoughts. The first thought is found, it's out of Joshua chapter 6, 1 through 6, but I'm reading now the latter part, and it has to do with taking Jericho. And it says, now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the sons of Israel. Matter of fact, this is verse 1. No one went out and no one came in. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. Jericho was tightly shut up before the sons of Israel. No one went out, no one came in. Now, so in this mindset of provision, okay, which speaks of something being set in place for a later time, planning, setting aside, I want you to know this, and I need you to begin to really focus intentionally as you're going about your life with this kind of thinking in mind, that God has already set things in motion for you. Things are already set in place for you. See, it wasn't a happenstance that Jericho was locked up. It was on lockdown. When you read the backdrop of the story, what you find is when they go to Rahab, when the two spies go to Rahab, Rahab says, "From the moment we heard you were coming, our hearts melted." I need us to recognize that God has a way of going before you and I. His reputation has already gone before you, and you can move about in the kingdom. You can go about and move forward with a sense of things are already set in motion. Provision has already been made. They were so afraid that they locked everything down. Nobody went out. Nobody came in. It was their way, they thought, of protecting themselves. But when you read on, then you see right after that, God says, now this is how you're going to take Jericho. You're not going to bust through the gates. You're not going to climb the walls. What he does is he gives them instructions. As we like to say, illogical instructions for miraculous results. Illogical instructions for miraculous results. Now hear me. Some of you, even now, God's going to begin to speak to you things that seem to be illogical, but they have everything to do with the unleashed provision coming to you. God's going to speak some things that your mind can't handle, comprehend, but just grab it in your heart. Grab it in your spirit. Let your mind catch up. Let your mind catch up. We have shared and we've given testimony and we will continue to give testimony. It will be in my book of Living in the Realm of Ridiculous Faith. If we logically approached this, we would not have bought this building for a number of reasons. But God said, this is where I want you. This is what I have for you. And he brought every part of it together. So what God was saying to Joshua, look, there's a fortress, but I'm going to give you illogical instructions. And if you follow them to the letter, the walls will fall. You will win this victory, and you will go in, and you'll take the spoil. He said, see, I've given Jericho into your hands. And so I want to say to us in this season as well of unleashed provision that God's going to allow you to see some things that you haven't seen before that are very much a part of the provision that he's had for you. Some things are hidden till the appointed time. Some things are hidden until the due time. And I'm here to say to us, it's due time. It's due time. It's my due time. It's my due time. It's my due time. What about you? What about you? It's my due time. The second thing that I want to share with you is out of Joshua as well, real quick here, Joshua 14. Joshua 14, 6 through 13, it speaks of now that they're in the promised land. And this is Caleb talking here. It says, then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me. Now he's talking to Joshua. He says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back to him as it was in my heart. Now, that's key right there. I need you to get that. I brought back to him as it was in my heart, which means these other guys, there was something else going on in their hearts. But what I shared is what was in my heart concerning what I saw. And it goes on and says, nevertheless, my brethren who went out with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord with my with my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord, my God, fully. Now before the Lord, now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he has spoke these 45 years. From the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. And my strength was then, so my strength is now. For war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there, with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. So Joshua gave him his inheritance. The point I want to make is this. There has to be a point in your life where you own it before you own it. Own it before you own it. I grew up how many of you know those places you can go where you can rent to own? Anybody ever used the rent to own places? I'm not ashamed to raise my hand. We did. We got a TV, and you know, when you didn't have it and something convenient was there. But the thing about the rent to own is, whatever you pay to rent it, you probably bought it three times by the time you're done, and then you actually buy it. Because it really is all about making money. But you're renting it to own it. You have the vision of one day it being yours. So you have it even though you're renting it to own it. But there's a spiritual dynamic that I'm talking about here. And again, these are just the two points that I felt like I needed to touch base on as we move into this place of unleashed provision. I heard the Lord say to me, he says, you must own it before you own it. Which means Caleb saw it 45 years later, got it. But every one of those years, in his mind, I got some land out there. I got some property out there. He owned it before he owned it. He didn't say, let me get in it and try to own it. I'm saying to us this morning, and I'm saying to you, there are certain things that will not come to you unless you own it before you own it. You own it here. You own it here before you own it here. You own it here. You own it here before you own it here. See, what many of you don't know is there were days when I came over and just walked around this building. I would just walk around the building, and I would run into a Linville Angel. Hey, Pastor John, you got that check for us? I said, it's coming. I'd walk around. Came in here one time. I brought Pastor Deborah over. She hadn't seen it. Brought her over here. And I walked in, and Pastor Josh was sitting up there in one of them chairs. I sat down right next to him, just like, I'm here too. And we started talking. You remember that? That's when I played for you that word from Dr. Mark Barkley about what God said he was going to do. I was giving him every indicator. This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. I was giving him every indicator. Hear me. Because in my mind, once I believe God said it, I own it. Listen to me. It's that dynamic in the spirit that unlocks and unleashes the provision to begin to come to you. So you can live all your life as a believer, but never really own anything because you didn't recognize you were the owner of some things. Remember in Galatians 4th chapter when it talks about the heir? It says, while he is a child, he differs nothing but from the servant or the slave, but under tutors and governors until the appointed time of the father. Every day, those that are assigned to that child is letting him know who he is. Letting him know, I know you like to hang out with those kids, but one day you're going to recognize there's a difference. There's a difference. And there was something in Caleb that kept him going through those 40 years in the wilderness, finally to get to the land that God had promised for him. It was the promise that God had given him. It's the promise that God had given him, just like God has made promises to you and I. Now, let me add one more point here, and then we're going to end out, because I made the commitment that I was going to end by a certain time, and I'm already a minute over. But it's good, because you'll come back. I don't want to go so long you fall asleep. In this season of unleashed provision, expect God to do miracles on your behalf. In this season of unleashed provision, expect God to do miracles on your behalf. When you look in the scriptures, you see a pattern with God that he doesn't have a problem working miraculously in order for his word to be fulfilled. As a matter of fact, let me walk you through just a few of the passages. When he brought them out of Egypt, and you know all the miracles he did and the signs and wonders he did prior to them coming out. But once they got out, he continued to demonstrate his faithfulness to them as their provider. And so we see the angel of God and the pillar of God and the fire guarded the multitude when they came out. At night, there was a pillar of fire to illuminate. There was an angel that was their rear guard. Exodus 13 and 14. It says a strong wind made a path for the Israelites through the sea. Now, we all know that, the parting of the Red Sea. But God was providing for them a way out. You remember that when you read that passage of scripture, even Moses stood up and said, what do I do now? And as if God said, why are you talking to me? That rod in your hand, that rod in your hand, stretch it out. Stretch it out. There is this principle that God says, you do this, I'll do this. You do your part, I'll do my part. In this season of unleashed provision, you're going to have those opportunities where God says, you do that, I'll do this. When you do this, you'll see this. And if there ever was a time for believers to step out in moving in the things of God like never before, it's right now. It's right now. And can I tell you, God is looking for those that'll partner with him. The Egyptians, their chariot wheels fell off. They swerved. All the army drowned. God moving miraculously, now providing protection for them. Bitter waters were made sweet and drinkable. Exodus 15. He's providing, and he's doing it in a miraculous way. He's doing it in a miraculous way. Is it possible that God wants you and I to not get so comfortable with the conveniences because he wants to demonstrate more miracles? More signs and wonders for the unbelievers to see. What that may take is you and I willing to be a little uncomfortable in certain settings. The grace to do it in order to see the power of God move. Exodus 16, manna rains from heaven. Quails are sent to feed them. unleashed provision. Water comes from the rock. Numbers 11, quail comes again. Numbers 20, water comes from a rock. And God, over and over and over and over, provides. God is our provider, and He has purposed to unleash provision in this season. Provision isn't just needs being met. Provision isn't just needs being met. Provision is having more than you need to be able to provide for others. That's provision. That's God unleashed provision. And that's what He's purposed to do in you, in us, in this season. You may be in a season where it just seems like, man, it's just tight. It's tight. I'm telling you, I'm prophesying to you, that season is about to come to an end. That season is about to come to an end. That season is coming to an end. That season is coming to an end. That season is coming to an end. That season is, oh my God. That season is coming to an end. The thief has been arrested. The thief has been arrested. It's coming to an end. 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 The same way that God moved His people through the wilderness for 40 years, one miracle after another, to bring them into a place of provision after provision after provision, is the same God that's here right now, that you sense His presence right now. And He's saying, I will do for you what you've seen me do. I will do for you what you have read. I will do for you what only I can do. Unleashed provision. Unleashed provision. Unleashed provision. Unleashed provision. Do it, Jesus.